Just $5. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price. Limited time only.
Welcome into the gym class at 2 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock for this Monday here on KGYM. A ton to get to before the 4 o'clock hour hits. We are going to talk Iowa and Iowa State Bowl action from Friday and Saturday with you. We'll get your reactions as well. Talk about the NFL weekend. Let you know how the pick six went. And Mike Halas will be joining us as well. All that coming up on the final edition of the gym class for 2019 here at KGYM. At 3 minutes past the hour of 3, gym class coming your way for a Monday on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Thank you for joining us, and happy holidays once again as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour for the final time here in 2019. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Zach Schmitz, our producer here today on the other side of the glass, as we welcome you into the program. As always, we are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, great place to take the family, friends, and I think they were all there last Friday night. As a group of us went to third base and took in the Holiday Bowl between Iowa and USC. Had great food, had a great time. Thanks to Troy and everybody out there. Put on a good night for everybody that was assembled out there. Tried to say hi, but it was so busy and whatnot, didn't make it over there. So I wanted to do it on the air here and thank everybody at third base, our presenting sponsor of the gym class program right here on KGYM. Good afternoon. Happy New Year's Eve to you.
Penultimate Eve?
I don't know. It is the penultimate Eve today.
Well, you as well, and to our listeners, last show, as Scott mentioned, of 2019, it's certainly been an interesting year, as most are, and in a couple, 3 weeks, we're going to be starting our 13th year, Scott.
Hard to believe.
Well, at least I think we are.
I hope so. January the 24th will be that particular day. I can always remember that because it's my sister's birthday.
Yeah.
So I will always have that ingrained in my mind. And again, a big thanks to Third Base for helping us out. We do appreciate it. 319-366-1600, Hurtina Stocker Jeweler text line. Hurtina Stocker Jewelers located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. I imagine that is going to be rocking and rolling here today as we talk about the Cyclone and Hawkeye bowl games from over the weekend, the National Football League as well. The playoffs are set after last night's terrific ending between the 49ers and the Seahawks up in the Great Northwest last night, which impacted those two teams as well as four other teams in the destinations. The NFL playoffs get started coming up on Saturday with a doubleheader and Sunday with a doubleheader right here on KGYM. You'll hear those games coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Where the heck do you start, Mark?
Well, I think we go back to the Holiday Bowl and Iowa's resounding 49-24 victory over Southern California. How about that?
That's a good place to start. And again, text line, phone lines available at 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. In my sports view on both Iowa and Iowa State and kind of a nutshell wrap-up of the season today, and I think the winter is going to go very, very quickly if you're an Iowa fan out there. By the time you look forward to spring football and the prospects, which look pretty darn good, although a tough schedule coming up in 2020 for the Hawkeyes, but what a way to end the season. Double-digit wins for the sixth time in the Ferentz era. Nate Stanley goes out as a 3-0 bowl quarterback as a starter for the Hawkeyes, number two all-time passer as far as yardage is concerned for the University of Iowa. Amir Smith-Marset, I think, set himself as one of the wide receivers to look for in the Big Ten next year. maybe even the country next year. It was just, if you were an Iowa fan, it was a heck of a night.
Yeah, I don't think there's much question that this is Iowa's best game, certainly offensively. You know, Scott, when you have time off between the end of the regular season and the bowl game, often there is rust. And Iowa showed none on offense. I mean, this is a brilliant game plan by Brian and Kirk Ferentz and brilliantly executed. Iowa came out right away, and Nico Reganey had a big third down catch, and Brandon Smith did as well, and Iowa got off to a 7-0 win, and to my knowledge, never trailed, led 28-17 at halftime, and there was some, you know, Iowa controlled the time of possession. USC only had one possession in the first 18 and a half minutes, and Iowa didn't exactly get the ground game going, but enough so that able to sprinkle in some plays there to continue drives, and then some really important plays in the second half. Certainly A.J. Epenesa's sack of Keaton Slovis that knocked him out of the game. Who knows what would have happened had he been able to continue. I think Iowa was still going to win that game. Amir Smith, smart set answer with a 98-yard kickoff return after USC's touchdown. Stanley was not perfect, but very, very good. Very efficient, I thought. You know, it was 28-24, and USC decided the onside kick. And that key juncture right there, the next play or the one thereafter.
Yeah, which I thought was the key part of the game.
Yeah, Epenesa hit Slovis and knocked him out of the game. And from there on, Iowa was able to cruise things home and get a big third straight bowl victory.
You mentioned the running game. Iowa put up very gaudy numbers as far as the rushing is concerned. Did a lot of that on exotics, though. Yeah, a little nod to Hayden Fry, the late, great Hayden Fry out there. We saw reverses. We saw double reverses. Kept USC. When you have a defense that is coming after you as hard as USC was, and you have the opportunity to throw in some reverses and things like that, I thought Brian Ferentz called a wonderful game on Friday night. He seemed to come up with the big play every time he needed it. Nate Stanley had some big-time throws, good catches by the wide receiver core out there. As well as Laporta at tight end, who's going to be the next great tight end as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. You can already see that taking shape a little bit. And Iowa just turned it over to the defense at a certain point, and the defense was stellar. After that first drive of the second half, looked like USC was going to get right back into the ball game, and then got the onside kick, and then the Iowa defense kicked it into a higher gear at that point. And yes, Slovis going out certainly did not help USC, but Iowa's defense played very, very well after that juncture. 319-366-1600, that's a text line. You can also reach us via the phone lines as well if you want to talk a little Hawkeyes and USC from the Holiday Bowl last Friday.
You know, USC only scored 7 points in that second half, and that was early in the third quarter.
2 minutes.
Michael Pittman Jr., the all-world wide receiver for USC, was largely not a factor. Caught 6 balls for maybe 50, 60 yards. There are some other nice plays that USC receivers made, but by and large, with Slovis out of the game, USC had no chance.
Yeah, and clean play there by Epenesa. Mm-hmm. Very clean play. Just a hard football tackle, and not sure what Slovis did. I'm sure he had some sort of a shoulder ailment in there, but just not – the backup was not – third stringer was not going to lead them to a victory, no matter how many stars he had behind his name. You could tell in his eyes coming in that he looked very deer in headlights-ish when he came in there facing A.J. Epenesa with his ears pinned back and other people like that.
86-99 on the Hertzing and Stocker Jeweler text line. Weighing in, great game from everyone against a good opponent, too. Quality bowl win for a 10-3 season. Take that, haters.
Well, part of my reasoning today in the sports view was the fact that a lot of people had mixed emotions coming into the season as far as Iowa football was concerned. I don't think anybody, very few percentage, had Iowa as a 10-win team this year. And Iowa got that. And doesn't it make it an amazing year? Probably not. But tell you what, it was a pretty darn good year for Iowa football.
That segment of the fan base, and maybe rightfully so, will forever say what could have been with Penn State and Michigan and Wisconsin. Three one-score losses. Remember, folks, there were 4 one-score wins.
True.
That could have went the other way as well. But by and large, a 10-win season is terrific.
I believe those are 3 teams that combined for 41 wins and are playing in terrific bowl games. Mm-hmm. Penn State has already got a bowl win so far this year. 319-366-1600. Let's bring in our friend Eugene here on this 30th of December. Eugene, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm calling in to eat crow a little bit. I've called into this program to complain about Brian. I'm going to call in to praise him. The thing that was amazing to me is how we put together, was it 3 drives of over 7 minutes to help keep their offense off the field? And to me, I thought it was one of Nate Stanley's better games, not as much maybe throwing the ball, but as a I guess a team general out there getting us into plays, getting us out of plays. And maybe this might be his legacy win that everybody's sort of be looking for. And I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks, guys. Happy New Year, by the way.
You too, Eugene. Thanks.
Yeah, in my notes to support Eugene's contention, that first drive was 10 plays. The next scoring drive was 15 plays. You had a 13-play drive in there. Second half, a 14-play drive.
7.5 minutes.
A 90-yard Iowa drive that led to a Goodson TD and a 35-24 lead. Excellent point by Eugene.
Very much so. And it kept the ball away from USC. And that drive that took almost 8 minutes was directly after the onside kick. Iowa stopped, got it back. What, 10-yard line, 9-yard line, 91-yard, 92-yard drive in there that Goodson topped off with the touchdown run. And after that, it was done. USC had nothing left in the tank at that point, especially with the backup quarterback in there.
Yeah, I was going to tweet at one point, thanks for coming, Michael Sleep Dalton. But he did end up punting with a minute and a half left in the third quarter, and I think he punted a couple, 3 times. But that's how dominant Iowa was in time of possession. And to Eugene and your point, keeping USC off the field.
Yeah. Our friend Ed, it could have been closer if Slovis stays in, but Iowa was going to win regardless. I would agree. I would agree with that out there. I thought Iowa was a better football team overall. Between the two, I thought Iowa passed the eye test a little bit more.
Now the waiting game is on for maybe some expected news from A.J. Epenesa, Tristan Wirfs.
And I think we know the news on those two guys.
I think we know
guys.
The news there. Geno Stone,
that's gonna
in
be
my
the one.
Opinion, is not ready and would benefit from another year back. But those names those folks will make their decision and make them public very soon.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, there was that LSU game too, right? Cajun Troy.
G-E-A-U-X Tigers, Troy.
Listen, I have to say one thing. I went over to France, so I had to watch the Hawkeyes because I don't normally watch them, but you know, I guess it's better than watching Iowa State the next day. But it was even great watching LSU. But my thing is, I wish that quarterback wouldn't have got hurt because I think it would have been a fun game because I don't know if you saw that play when that second quarterback came in and the ball went over his head. I guess he was like, I am not going after this ball. First I saw him and he looked back. I'm like, what is he doing? You know. So, but this is my thing, guys. I'm sorry. This is who I am. If LSU don't win a championship and the Saints don't make it to the Super Bowl, it is a wasted season. I tell you, this is Hinesville. I am so, right now, all my friends are praying for the Saints. I'm done wasting my prayers on the Saints. You know, because when we lost that game against Atlanta, after a bye week, we would have been number one seed, and we would have had home field all the way, okay? So I am done praying for them. You know, so
I think LSU is in good shape. We'll see. Clemson may have used the rabbit foot to beat Ohio State.
So, yeah, Ohio State was a better team, and I would have preferred to see Ohio State and LSU. I really would have, you know. So, but, you know, they had opportunities. You know, they dropped that touchdown on that screen pass and things of that sort, you know. You just, they just left too many points on the field. So, yeah, so we'll see, you know. But I'm happy for the Hawkeye fans who are happy with the 10 wins. But I'm just a person like, it's about championship. If you can't prove it to me, then leave me alone.
Yes. And you get a chance to get a little revenge against the Vikings coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I know that. But then I got to give a TV because it's going to be like 40% chance of snow. And in the 20s when we go to Green Bay. So I'm just going to a movie. I'm not watching the Saints again until we end the Super Bowl. I am done.
All right.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year,
you, Troy.
318, Gage and Troy. All or nothing.
Boy, did LSU look good.
Yeah.
And we knew Oklahoma didn't have a great defense, but in one half, Joe Burrow, 400-some-odd yards.
I'm tired of Oklahoma.
And seven touchdowns. In one half?
Tired of Oklahoma.
You believe, and I think I agree with you, Georgia should have been there.
Georgia was a better team than Oklahoma. Oregon, I think you could have made a pretty good argument they should have been at 4.
As good as LSU is, don't sleep on Trevor Lawrence. That guy is a really quality quarterback who I think it may have a pretty good career in the NFL. He made some moves with his legs, and he's really you throw his own defense at him, and he's going to shred it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Clemson's going to win, but this is a really good quarterback.
Clemson's a good football team, a very good football team. You had three undefeated teams, and Clemson, Ohio. Tell you what, Ohio State doesn't settle for field goals on two trips to the red zone. Ohio State wins that game.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. Ohio State feels really bad, but I don't think anybody around here other than diehard Buckeye fans like our friend Rick Swan across the hall are feeling real unhappy for the Buckeyes.
A couple iffy officiating calls, but you have to overcome those. You just simply have to.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. 319-366-1600. 3148, a great Hawkeye win. I'm glad Alaric Jackson is coming back. It says, tell a little something for Troy. He must be a Viking fan. Says, tell Troy, skull.
Game on.
Game on between 3148 and Troy.
Cyclone Tim, no need to talk about the Cyclones. Nothing to see here. A whole lot of suck. Move on. Thanks.
We will get to the Cyclones, and we're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up in a little bit as well. He was in Orlando for the Capital One Bowl. We'll take a break, come back. More of your text, more of your phone calls coming up as well. Gym Class presented by Third Base Brewery for a Monday here on KGYM.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere, and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Nobody beats our selection at Menards. All in-stock Kidde home safety products are on sale. Stay safe with a plug-in gas alarm with battery backup that alerts against carbon monoxide, propane, and natural gas. Only $29.99. Save on all in-stock Kidde home safety products. On sale now. Sale prices are good through Saturday, January 4th. Nobody beats our selection at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts by design.
Bowl mania continues. Illinois is on the field right now taking on Cal at the Red Box Bowl. Illini up 3-0, but Cal just broke off a big run to get deep in Illinois territory. We've got the winner of the Western versus Western game. It was Western Kentucky getting the victory as they defeated Western Michigan minus the Rose and the Oars. 23-21 on the last second field goal in that particular game in the First Responders Bowl. We also have the Music City Bowl going on right now. Mississippi State and Louisville are scoreless. We'll talk a little bit not only about the Camping World Bowl with Michael Oz, but also Iowa, big win yesterday. Nice crowd on hand at Carver Hawkeye, too. We talked about the fact, are people going to come out and see this rated basketball team? And announced crowd was just over 15. There weren't 15 there, but I bet you there were at least 12 there.
Well, you were there. You should know.
I was there. And a lot of families there.
Sunday afternoon against Kennesaw State, that's
$15
tickets.
Impressive. And a lot of families brought the kids yesterday. So that was good to see on a lot of accounts. And we'll talk with Michael Oss about that coming up here in just a couple of moments. Ed on the text line, Joe Burrow is the most complete college quarterback that has come around for a long time. Had a pretty good half. My goodness.
Well, he's had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I mean, his jump from last year to this year is meteoric.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy.
Very much so. Very much so. Kyler from Iowa City, first of all, Happy New Year. Thank you very much. Same to you. I really hope that AJ stays with his father's influence. I'm hoping his decision is to stay. Werfs is gone. That guy is ready for the next level. Good win by the Hawks. Loved watching it. And last but not least, go Ravens. I will have to fight you on that one. By the way, thank you to all the Miami Dolphin fans out there from all the Chief fans.
Indeed.
Out there. 319-366-1600. And Ed says, yes, two pretty egregious calls that went against Ohio State. They were game-changing. I do agree that the field goals instead of touchdowns was the biggest thing. Yeah, Ohio State did not get the benefit of calls, but that's the way the ball bounces. And get touchdowns.
You have to overcome that.
Get touchdowns early on. They left a lot of money on the table, Ohio State did in that game, and it came back to haunt them late.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't give a good team like Clemson a chance to redeem themselves, and that's exactly what they did out there. As good as Friday was, Saturday not so much. As we heard from Cyclone Tim. Sorry, Tim, we have to touch upon it a little bit. Iowa State had a chance, I'm not going to say to redeem the 2019 season, but to at least go out with a bang. Everything was set up. Notre Dame, blue blood coming in, much like USC, but Notre Dame is Notre Dame with the Four Horsemen, with Rudy, with numerous national championships, with numerous Heisman Trophy, with the Golden Dome, with Touchdown Jesus, everything you want with Notre Dame. I question Notre Dame's mental capacity going into this game, and I was dead wrong. Notre Dame wanted to be there, and Notre Dame really was never headed in that football game.
Not at all, and I thought this was going to be a tough get for Iowa State from the beginning. And then when you start with two turnovers, and basically hand Notre Dame a 10-0 lead. That didn't help matters, but I don't care if you're an Iowa State fan or whatever it may be. Iowa State did not beat itself.
No. Notre Dame
beat Iowa State and would 9.5 times out of 10.
My question today was, what does this mean for Cyclone Nation? Because this Iowa State has not had this situation come up ever, I don't believe, where you have so many expectations going into a year. And I think it's pretty safe to say that Iowa State fans are a little disappointed with 2019. 7-6 with the schedule they had in front of them, the way it was laid out, with five starters coming back on the offensive line, Ray Lima coming back, Marcel Spears coming back, Rose coming back, Orion Vance jumping up like he did, and Brock Purdy coming back. Iowa State was looking at a possible Big 12 championship game appearance, and instead get knocked around on national television pretty much wherever Notre Dame wanted to do. This is something new for Iowa State and Matt Campbell going into the offseason.
Didn't help that Julian Good-Jones, the Cedar Rapids Washington product, was out at left tackle. But I'm not sure even that would have made a huge difference. I think Iowa State has a lot of positives to take forward in Purdy and Breece Hall and others coming back. Going to have to piece together an offensive line, but I think Matt Campbell has recruited very well. Just not going to have the experience that this group did.
No. Lose a couple of receivers. Ray Lima is gone. Marcel Spears is gone. Those are two big stalwarts as far as the defense is concerned. Iowa State could still – this program's not going anywhere. The Cyclones, as 6707 puts it, they have to just get past it. And I'm sure Matt Campbell's already working on that with the psyche of this Iowa State football team right now. But like I said, this is new territory for Iowa State, coming off a disappointing season. Or am I putting too much into it? I think 7 wins and 6 losses – is a little bit of a disappointing season this year for
Iowa State. I think you'd
have
to say that. It was one of those seasons where Iowa State didn't get many breaks because it played so many close games there and had so many opportunities to win at least some of those games, starting with the Iowa game and then progressing to Baylor and Oklahoma and maybe one or two others I'm not thinking of. But basically, the Cyclones, with the exception of this bowl game, were in every game that I can recall. And once again, just could not get the breaks to go the Cyclones' way.
But the one thing, and they talked about this, John, in fact, John will be on with Todd at 4:30 today to recap the bowl game. But the one thing Iowa State, and this doesn't only apply to Iowa State, it applies to all of these spread teams that run out of the shotgun. You've got to be able to get a half a yard or 1 yard in a situation. Iowa State couldn't do it all year. Couldn't do it twice on Saturday. And there were a good example. Iowa Friday night called, what, 4 straight quarterback sneaks and tallied about 30 yards? Iowa State can't get a yard. And they're not the only ones in that situation when you run out of a shotgun and out of a pistol formation all the time. And that's one thing Iowa State's got to improve on for next year, and they got to do it behind basically a brand-new offensive line next year.
And this defense that was pretty highly regarded, they gave up 33 points to, granted, a good team. Ian Book's a good quarterback, and they've got some excellent talent on offense, Notre Dame, that is.
Notre Dame's going to be really good next year,
too. Yeah, they are. And this is an 11-2 team with a lot back.
I think Notre Dame showed me something on Saturday. The announcers and a lot of folks around Notre Dame reading about it were saying that they're looking at this game as the first game of 2020. And that's the way Brian Kelly or not, you got to give him some credit. And he had those guys motivated. And Notre Dame's going to be a player next year. They do play Clemson next year, which ought to be a very, very interesting battle. Mm. Of course, Notre Dame with the ACC ties, but don't call them an ACC team. That's why they ended up in the Camping World Bowl, by the way. 319-366-1600.
My last point on these, maybe not my last, but on these two bowl games involving Iowa and Iowa State, I do not want we've talked about Troy Aikman doing all the Cowboy games.
Did it yesterday, too.
Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush on the set of Fox, FS1, two USC graduates commentating on a USC bowl game using the words we and us.
Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't bother the casual fan, but that's hardly impartial commentary in journalism.
I would agree.
They're probably not going to take them off the air just because USC is involved, but come on, guys.
They were eating crow at the end, too. That situation.
They weren't very happy.
No, they were not. 3:33. We're going to take a break, come back. Mike Colas will join us coming up next. He was in Orlando. He was in Iowa City yesterday. Hardest working guy out there. And going to join us coming up next. More on the Gym Class on the Monday edition, the final edition of 2019. Coming your way after this on KGYM.
Having a real Christmas tree's the best.
Right? But how do we get rid of it?
Oh, that's easy.
It is?
Uh-huh. Just make sure all the stuff's taken off, you know, wires, tinsel, decorations, and your tree can't have any of that fake snow spray on it.
Got it.
Then just cut the tree into even sections no longer than 6 feet each and set it next to your cart on your normal collection day. Or cut it up and fit it into your Yardie cart.
That's it?
Yep. The City of Cedar Rapids will be collecting trees now through mid-January.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from CR News Now.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great-paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you on the Gym Class for a Monday on KGYM, presented by Third Base Brewery. Here on this December the 30th, Orange Bowl comes up tonight, all three frequencies at 7 o'clock, Florida and Virginia. Then tomorrow we've got bowl games starting at 11 o'clock in the morning. And taking you through the day, we also have UNI and Illinois State to open Missouri Valley Conference play in Normal. That'll be on 107.5, 106.3 FM at 1:30. Iowa State's final non-conference tune-up will take place tomorrow at 4 o'clock. No, yeah, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I'd have to look. Go to KGYMradio.com. Iowa State's going to give a check to Florida A&M coming up tomorrow. And then all kinds of bowls coming up on Wednesday, and we're back with you on Thursday for more local programming right here on KGYM. We will give you the results of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Trust us on that. Coming up in a moment. Mike Colas set to join us right now. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. We encourage you to do so. And the hardest working guy around right now. Do you know what day it is, Mike?
I know tomorrow night's New Year's Eve, so Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
thanks.
Orlando to Iowa. Made it back to Iowa. JJ did the Iowa game yesterday, and what a game it was against Kennesaw State, by the way. But anyway, let's start with Orlando, and we've been talking about it here for the last few minutes anyway, and I didn't know if Notre Dame was going to be motivated to play in this bowl game. Notre Dame was motivated to play in this bowl game.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the more silly and overused things in college football bowl season is, will a team be motivated to be there? The fact is that very few teams aren't. You would say Miami wasn't in the Independence Bowl, but, I mean, they're competitors. This is what they do. This is what they live for. They only get to do it 12, 13 times a year. And so, yeah, Notre Dame went down there, and okay, it's the Camping World Bowl. It's not the playoffs. It's not a New Year's Six Bowl. And yeah, but we're still, you know, football players and pretty good ones. And they outclassed Iowa State Saturday, and that's really all you need to say about it. I mean, it was just bad performance by the Cyclones, quite a good performance by the Irish, and it turned out to be a rout.
What would you say to Iowa State fans who say the Cyclones beat themselves?
Well, I don't agree with that, but I will say it would have been very interesting to watch that game had they not, you know, had Milton not fumbled the punt after Iowa State's defense opens the game with a three and out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very nice start. You get out there, three plays, you hold them, you get the ball. You know, and then Iowa State's first full possession or semi-full possession on a keeper, Purdy fumbles it away, and Notre Dame scored off both turnovers. It's 10-0. The Cyclones could still come back, though, and they did not. You know, it just got worse, and it wasn't turnovers after that. It was the total yardage was lopsided. Notre Dame's passing game was a thing of beauty. And Iowa State, while it hit on several long pass plays, it never sustained anything. And then it had a first and goal at the 3 and gets, you know, a field goal. It has a pair of fourth and ones in that game and gets stopped. It all adds up to a team that just wasn't quite there.
We hit upon that, and a lot of folks have talked about it, written about it as well, that you know, a couple things. What's Iowa State going to do now that they're faced with this new situation, kind of coming off a little bit of a disappointing season going into 2020? And the one thing Iowa State needs to improve on is short yardage situations with this football team. And like you said, they had a couple of them that were very key on Saturday, and Notre Dame stopped them both times.
Yeah, I've never been overwhelmed with their offensive line since Campbell's been there. Now, basically, it gets overhauled. And the question is going to be, will the ceiling be higher for the future offensive lines? I hear it will, but, you know, until you see it, you haven't seen it.
A positive for Iowa State was Charlie Kolar's announcement he was going to return next season, but Notre Dame really took him out of the game in Orlando.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He didn't get to do much. And he had a sensational season.
Mm-hmm.
But him tweeting that later on the game day was a big ray of sunshine in an otherwise lousy day for the Cyclones, because they'll also have they've gone to being the state of Iowa's tight end school now. They had three good ones this year, really. Kolar got the majority of the catches, but Chase Allen and Dylan Sainer are very good players. But Kolar's special. I mean, he's in that TJ Hockenson mode. Big guy, good hands, decent speed, difference maker. So when you've got Breece Hall at running back, you've got Brock Purdy at quarterback, and Purdy wasn't quite right physically the last month of the season. Players get hurt, dinged up, you know. They weren't making excuses, but Purdy's wasn't quite right ankle-wise, if that's a word. And so, you know, if you get him a couple of wide receivers he can rely on, Milton's going to be a junior. He ought to be ready to step up, I think. They should have a pretty potent offense if you have an offensive line that's just competent. So I don't think there could be some very good times ahead there. And when Matt Campbell says they're very close, he doesn't indulge in hyperbole or big buildup. If he says that, he thinks they're pretty close. And the fact is they were pretty close in that they could have beaten Iowa, lost by a point. They could have beaten Baylor, lost by a last-second field goal. They could have beaten Oklahoma, lost on a failed two-point conversion near the very end of the game that some people thought should have had a penalty flag on it. But they did lose those games. And then you also remember the first game of the year, it took them triple overtime to beat Northern Iowa. So if they don't win that game against UNI, they have a losing record this year.
Yeah.
So in the your record, you know, you are what your record says you are category, 7-6 was right for this team. But they're not that far away. However, it's one of those deals so close yet so far away. Until you have a dominant offensive line, or at least an offensive line that can play a defense to a standstill, you're not there yet.
Mike Loss joining us, 3:43, a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And be interesting to see, Matt Campbell, before we leave Iowa State football here, Matt Campbell has talked so many times about Marcel Spears and Ray Lima and how they changed the culture of this football team. And you could even see that yesterday when they were, or Saturday when they were leaving the field, talking with their teammates who are going to be back. And it's going to be interesting to see how those two guys, I think, in particular, are going to be, I hate to say replaced, but they got to be replaced, I guess.
Yeah, well, so, right. I mean, every time I saw Spears, he was good. I like some of the guys who are back. I think Greg Eisworth, I mean, he was banged up this year. That is a great player, safety. Jaquan Bailey was hurt early in the year and had to redshirt. He's really good up front.
Yep.
I mean, really good. And Mike Rose at linebacker, you know, you've heard all the talk about him the last 2 years. They've got some players coming back on defense. I just didn't think the defense was particularly good in the games I saw them this year. They were good against Iowa. I take that back. But against Oklahoma State and Notre Dame, I thought great offensive players got the better of Iowa State. And, you know, in fact, I don't think there's no argument there. You're talking about some pretty great players on offense on those two teams, but that's what you face in the Big 12. I know the Big 12 was there for the taking this year. It's the same story as with Iowa. Iowa State could have been in the conference championship game with just a little bit more, just like Iowa could have won the Big 10 West with just a little bit more. So there's some frustration in the airport yesterday in Orlando. Some Iowa State fans I talked to were a little down. But at the same time, they realize 23 wins the last 3 years. They're going on these bowl trips, having a lot of fun, and it used to be a football mausoleum over there for the most part. I mean, they got to a couple of bowls under Rhodes. They got to bowls under McCarney, but this is an upgrade. The Alamo Bowl and the Camping World Bowl and playing Notre Dame, these are upgrades for Iowa State, so they appreciate that, but you get a little taste of something and you want a little more and you want a little more. And the thing is they got to the Camping World Bowl because of their fans, not because they were 7-5. There, you want to get to Arlington for the Big 12 championship. You want to get to the New Year's Six bowl games. You can't do that on the back of your fans. You have to win games.
You covered a lot of Iowa this year, Mike, and I'm sure you caught that game before tucking yourself away to get ready for Saturday's game. Your takeaway?
Well, it was they played a beautiful game. You know, they smoked USC. Two plays into that game, when USC had the ball. After the second play, I said I was going to whip them. And then the longer USC's quarterback played, the more I thought, I think I spoke too soon. But class did tell. Iowa's defense did outplay USC's offense. And yes, USC's quarterback got hurt, but Iowa was going to win that game going away had he stayed in the game, because USC's defense was soft. I don't think much of the Pac-12 football in 2019. I went back to my hotel room and watched some of the Washington State Air Force game. Washington State beaten soundly by Air Force. It wasn't a rout, but Air Force was clearly the better team.
Illinois is beating Cal right now.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I was telling people before the Holiday Bowl that Iowa's got the best defense that USC will have seen all year. And people told me, well, Utah's is pretty good. And it's like, yeah, I guess, but I think Iowa's is better. And it was. So a great win for Iowa, but you know what? Also a great matchup for Iowa, because USC is a program in disarray. You heard stories from Los Angeles about how they didn't even have their bowl preparation squared away by the time Iowa already had a few under their belt. Iowa's got a better coaching staff. Inarguable, in my opinion. And it just had better players across the board. Iowa's been a team that has done very well bridging the end of the regular season until the bowl game. It's won three straight bowls. To me, beating Mississippi State last year in the Outback Bowl was more impressive of a victory, but this was a far better, more enjoyable, entertaining, satisfying style of football from the Hawkeyes. So it's a great way for them, you know, to go out and something to tide them over for the next 9 months until you start all over again.
I guess the preparation is one thing that stood out to me, Mike, and you know as well as I do that when you have time off between the end of the regular season and the bowl game, you sometimes get stale, you're not as sharp, you're a little rusty. I mean, from the very first series, though, you mentioned the Brian Ferentz's play calling, brilliant execution, brilliant, came out in many different sets. And I guess the preparation stood out to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You nailed it. From the get-go, it was clear that Brian Ferentz and his offensive coaches had used those 3 weeks of scouting to the maximum. And USC didn't know what they were looking at. Ferentz basically saw, you know, where the weaknesses were in that defense and went to work immediately. And all of a sudden the narrative has changed when you're talking about Iowa players. It's like, hey, Iowa's got speed. Hey, Iowa's got, you know, really talented, athletic wide receivers. Hey, Nate Stanley's pretty good, you know? And he was great in that game. What a great finish for him. I think he's going to be on an NFL roster next season.
I think he will, too.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of football people would tell you that, too. It's going to be interesting to me to see if he can get himself drafted and maybe how high.
True.
And then, of course, going down the line, Epineza, is a generational player. That's going to be a hard guy to replace. You know, you can't. You just don't get Epinezas too often. But what a run they had with him.
Very much so.
Started 1 year.
Yeah. What is he, like fourth in all-time sacks?
Yeah.
On the team? Yeah. Started 1 year.
Not bad. Not bad right there. Where does Stanley go down in the lore of Iowa football at the quarterback position?
Well, he's never going to be one of those, magical guys in people's minds. I think that there are a handful of those. Over the last 40 years, of course, Chuck Long is at the top, but there have been others, Brad Banks, Drew Tate. But, I mean, really, if you compare Stanley to Tate and Ricky Stanzi, I think that he completely stands up. Stanzi won three bowl games as well. But they did a lot of winning, you know. He didn't get the big stage. He didn't get to play in an Orange Bowl like Stanzi did. He didn't get to play in a Big Ten championship game like Beathard, somebody who I wouldn't want to leave off the list either. But a lot of wins and some truly great games. USC was certainly one of them. The Ohio State game in 2017, unforgettable. Stanley was brilliant that day. It wasn't a perfect career, but he, you know, to me, he was a really solid guy. And I'm, you know, haven't been around him, just a likable person who I think that if you knew him, you'd be pretty happy with him representing you.
Well, Mike, now you get ready for the Big Ten basketball grind. And I think I saw a graphic yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think maybe 10 or more Big Ten teams in the top 50 of the net. I'm not sure the Big Ten has ever been as balanced. And now Iowa goes into it with kind of a depth problem, don't you think?
I do. And it's what you just said about the depth in the conference is going to be illustrated Saturday when they play Penn State in Philadelphia. Penn State's ranked number 21?
Right in there, yeah.
Penn State. Okay. And Rutgers is good. So, and people didn't expect Iowa to be in that group either. So that's what I was facing. It's one of these deals where virtually every night, every game is a chore, a challenge. You're up against it. But that's a good thing in that come March, there will be a lot of teams who get into the tournament. But what it also means is that you know, two or three of those teams in that top 50 you named are probably going to end up getting picked on and backsliding. The trick is to, you know, is to keep your head above water for that whole time, win as many as you lose. And then if you do get to March, you're probably good enough to do damage.
Man. You going to go to Philly?
Yes, really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that more than anything that I've been sent to in quite a while because it's at the Palestra.
Yep.
Which opened
1927? Yeah, 1927. Pretty.
Yeah.
It's a basketball palace.
Yeah, well, I've never been there. I've been to Hinkle. I've been to Cameron. I've been to Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas. This one has eluded me, and I think it's going to be fun.
It will be. And we'll talk about that coming up in 2020 next Monday. Happy New Year, Mike.
That I'm not ready for.
I'm not either. Thanks, Mike, as always. Appreciate it, and enjoy the New Year.
Likewise.
Michael Oss. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Here's with us on Mondays here in the gym class on KGYM. Also give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. Iowa and Penn State, neutral site-ish at the Palestra in Philadelphia. I shouldn't have said palace maybe, but it's one of those venerable.
Sure.
Venerable venues. That's bad. But, you know, it's like Cameron. It's like Allen Fieldhouse. No, it's
Garden.
Not shiny and new, but it's a great place, I hear, for basketball. And Iowa and Penn State are going to play there to open the second part of the Big Ten season, the regular part of the Big Ten season, if you will, coming up. We'll take a break, come back, and we will let you know how the pick six went this week right after this here on KGYM.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Live sports and great smart rock go hand in hand. Take KGYM and Smart FM everywhere you go with the free KGYM app and the free Smart FM app. Sports and your favorite music on your mobile device with a touch of a button. For the home game or the road trip, get the KGYM app and Smart FM app for free today from your app store or KGYMradio.com and smartrockin.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, along with 106.3 FM. Thank you very much for joining us as we get ready to wrap up 2019 here on the Gym Class program. David and Hudson on the text line. The Neiman for Colbert sub was crucial. Yeah, Jaimon Colbert got beat a couple times early on. I would put more of their speed guys in. As far as the linebackers are concerned, and Nick Neiman was one of those adjustments that Phil Parker made.
Mm-hmm.
More on both bowl games coming up with Todd during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Without Alex Kuhn today, that'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here on KGYM. How did we do?
How did we do? You did well. 5-1 on the week in the Emil's Hideaway pick six. And the winner of the $30 gift card is...
Julie,
yes. Alex had to sweat out the Clemson game. That was his only win. Otherwise, he would have been behind Todd in the lunch line. But at any rate, we're going to make more picks on Friday with the panel.
Yeah.
And quick update on the Midlands Wrestling Tournament going on in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Seven finalists for Iowa. DeSanto, Murren, Lugo, Caleb Young, Marinelli, Abe Assad, and heavyweight Tony Cassiope. Spencer Lee medically forfeiting his semifinal match. Tweets from KJ Pilcher and others say it's getting him some rest after the national competition he is coming off of. So
Ironside will join us on Friday to talk wrestling. We'll be back with you on Thursday when we'll talk with Kevin Lehman, getting ready for the Big Ten and Big 12 and Missouri Valley Conference seasons. Dave Kochan joins us as well, and we'll talk Friday, as we mentioned, coming up with Ironside. Hope you enjoyed the show.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 107.